Hey, good morning. How are y'all doing today? Well, every week.
Spanish response.
Hey, we are super glad that you're here this morning, even if it rained. I just want to let you know you should feel really sorry for the two of us this week. We both hit a deer with our vehicles. Yeah.
I actually didn't hit the deer.
And I'll just tell you how God was on my side. My vehicle doesn't have a scratch. I'm just joking. I had to rub it in because he just got his car fixed by hitting a deer by the last time we were together, and it's in the exact same spot. And I know how that feels because I had a kid hit me twice in the exact same spot.
I'm going home.
Two different kids.
I'm done. Going home now.
But I'm super glad you're here.
Caden actually is the one that hit the deer in the truck this time.
Yeah,
2 weeks after it was fixed from the last year.
Way to pass the blame. All right, moving on.
We've got some things that kind of go together here, and so the first one is next Sunday, the quilting group. If you don't know we have a quilting group, we have a quilting group. Right across from the prayer room is their hangout area, and they make amazing quilts. I have two foster children that have received quilts from them. I received a quilt when I became staff here, and also they do a quilt for the Harvest Festival, and so all foster children, not just mine, all foster children in Valley County, they provide a quilt for. And so this next Sunday, they're going to do kind of a fundraiser, but it'll also be an opportunity for you to start your Christmas shopping. They're going to have quilts, table runners, not like your kids running on tables, right?
No.
Okay. Table runners, placemats, Christmas stockings, curling iron holders, pajama bottoms with pillowcases, hot pad holders, and many more things. And they'll be in the main foyer before church from 9 to 10, and then after church from 11:30 to 12. And the reason that all runs together is because they do a quilt for Harvest Festival, and Harvest Festival is November 5th. It's the first Sunday in November, coming up very quickly. And for any of you that don't know, Harvest Festival is the opportunity that we have an offering that Sunday. We have guests come in and speak, and the offering that we take on that Sunday does not stay in this building. It goes out to missionaries, and it's our opportunity to thank God for our first fruits, and we send all that out in celebration, not separation, in celebration. After that Sunday, we will have a lunch back over there. We're providing the meat. If you would like to bring a side item or a pie.
Side item and a pie.
A side item and a pie.
The more pies we have, the better.
If you would like to bring a side item, plus it's required to bring a pie. we're going to eat together. That's the important part. I think that's one of the biggest biblical things we may miss is God loves food. He loves us, and he loves us gathering around food, most definitely. If you have questions on that and you think that I'm not being biblical, please come talk to me. I have many scriptures to back that up that I've taken out of context. And then one more thing that ties with all of that, because we got so excited about pies, the next Sunday after that, November 12th, right after church, we are going to be enjoying pies again at the annual pie auction to help support Guatemala. And so I have a whole list of people that signed up last year and brought in pies. We had 32, I think, and that was 32 people with a few different pies. Please, if you'd like to sign up again, see me after church or text me later. My number is in the bulletin. And just let me know that you'd like to bring something that we can auction off and be able to raise money for Guatemala. So you will get none of the funds for the pie. We keep all of them.
The funds.
Funds.
Okay.
You'll get fun.
But we do get the pie.
Yes, you get the pie. Yep, you get the pie.
Hey, and then I have just a couple of things before I turn it over to you guys I just got to, on Friday, go down and do some fencing and with the Jordan crew of people. And one of the things that they're getting ready to do, we were able to do, I joined in a group of youth group kids. There's about 10 of us total. We did about 4 miles of clipping wire and fencing, and it's super fun, super easy. In fact, it's so much fun, I can't feel my three fingers on my hand because I was really going fast. I'm very competitive, so I figured this out. There's 320 posts in a mile, No, this is really easy. I'm not doing math in front of you guys. 320 posts in a mile. I figured, how fast can I do a mile today? And I didn't even get to a mile because I think it was like I could only do about 27 posts an hour. And so I was cruising and just trying to get it done, and I didn't even come close to a mile. But with everybody together, we got 4 miles done. And so they're going to try to do a huge push before the ground really hardens. And so if you are interested in being a part of that, it's just one day. If you want to take a weekend, like a Friday or a Saturday, just go down. Tony is there. It's still in your guys' bulletins. You can call him up and say, hey, what's a great day? They've been just working all week long. And what they do is they just put posts in and they just wait for people to come to clip fence. And so it's a really great day. And so if you want to sign up for that, please do, okay? And give them a call. And the next thing is one last thing. We have our adult Christmas program musical going on. And so today after church, in this large classroom here, if you guys would like to join that, she's still looking for a couple parts of people who can play some parts in that musical. And so talk to Becky Johnson and she'll get you all squared away with that. But right afterwards, go there and then she'll give you a schedule. If you can't make every practice, that's okay. Just go to her, get a schedule so you know the schedules that she, the times that she does do that. Are there any other announcements that I missed before we do our very last one? Right here. Hey Dave, I'm gonna come and get your prayer request, all right, buddy? I'll come and get it.
Hi, I'm Jessica DeGreek, and I'm still collecting money for the Thanksgiving boxes. Right now we have enough for 4 families. So we're trying to do 10, and these are families out in Wolf Point that we're trying to get to. Oh, sorry. And I could just use my mom voice. But we're trying to get to 10 families, so we're up to 4, and we need to do this by Thanksgiving, so that way I can hand out, get the boxes ordered and get them handed out to them. So just see me or even Seth, and we'll take care of anything that you might want to donate to them. Thanks.
Okay, we have, yeah, we have one last announcement, and I'm going to ask Cordelia and Caden, some youth students, one of them I'm related to, come up here. Oh, that's already on, that's good, that's on. And they're going to share a little bit, and Cordelia, I'm not even going to introduce anything, I'll just let you go right into what you have, okay? It says it's on.
Now it's on.
Okay, check this one. I might have done that wrong. Now it's on.
Okay, so I'm Cordelia, and I am lucky enough to go back to Guatemala again this year, as Caden is also. And we have another one that is also going back as a student leader, and that's Amari. But we are just up here because we want to thank everybody for all of your generous donations and your prayers. Like, we wouldn't be where we are without you guys. Like, it means a lot to us. Also, I'm super nervous to talk in front of everybody, so bear with me. So I got this very generous donation of $300 from somebody anonymous, and I have no idea who they are, but after I got that donation, I made the goal, or made the correct amount that I needed to make to go to Guatemala. So then now whatever money I bring in goes straight to the orphanage. So that is something to be very grateful for.
There were also several of us that got a generous donation like that. And so we're also very thankful for that. And if there are any other donations, you can talk to Brian or you can put him in the offering. Dad. And prayer is greatly needed. So yeah, you can just keep us in your prayer requests, and that'd be awesome.
Okay, I thought maybe I turned it off. I definitely thank you guys very much for having the guts to come up here. I've been sending out texts about every Monday and Tuesday because you all, and I don't see the checks. They just go directly into the offering plates. But you all have been actually designating students that you want to give money to. And so about every Monday or Tuesday, I send out a text to students saying, hey, you got $100, you got $300, you got $100. And there's been several students that have gotten that. There's of course been a few that haven't. They're not as well known that they're going or anything. And so you can look in the bulletin and see names if you would like to specifically pick somebody that's going to Guatemala to pray for or to donate to. Per person, it's $1,300. It's $1,300 to go to Guatemala, and that includes plane ticket, our room and board, all of our food, all of our travel, everything that it's going to take. Any projects that we do, that's extra money kind of thrown in there to do some projects while we're there. We greatly appreciate it. That's part of the pie auction as well. Well, they will be there walking pies around, kind of like if Vanna White was doing pies and not letters, that's what it would look like. They will be doing that with pies. But the main idea is that I actually was going to have them write anonymous letters to the anonymous givers, and I felt that this was more appropriate because there's been so many, and so really, if you didn't get it, they really, honestly, we prayerfully are very thankful for this congregation and how we come along as a family and support the youth especially. I'm very thankful of that, but this mission in particular. And so if there's any of you that have it on your heart to still help, please come see me. I can let you know what students may need more help or not. And thank you guys. I'll let you step down now instead of still standing up here. Just turn it off. Turn it off. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Oh, most definitely. Hold on 1 second. We're gonna get you a mic. You can definitely add.
Okay, I also have been funded all of my trip, and I am so grateful because this is something I'm stepping out in. I'm older, it's scary, but at the same time, God told me to do this in February, and I'm doing it. So I want to challenge you. Next year, those of you who haven't gone, think about it, because it's been on my heart for years. But thank you. Those of you that I don't know who gave to me, thank you and bless you.
And so, yeah, Dixie's coming with us, and I have to share just a little bit. You can sit down so you're not as embarrassed. She told me that she was praying about going on the mission trip, and then finally decided, but right before, I think it was maybe one other time that we talked, right before, she said, you know, my mom does not want me to go. And I was like, that's the same thing that I hear from youth students. And so I thought it was great, and now prayerfully, I know that mom is on board now too, and siblings and everybody else, and it's been absolutely amazing. And yeah, Dixie, it's been awesome to see how much support has come behind you as well, as well as the youth students, and so it's been awesome. Thank you for letting me
not a problem.
Do all that.
Hey, we're going to go into share in prayer, and we haven't done this in a while, but we just thought that we would do that this Sunday, just to kind of bring back a couple of things. Man, we've been asking for you guys to grab in front and in front of your seats, in front of you, and just pull out the prayer cards and fill those out, and if you would still do that, that would be awesome. But today is just a great opportunity to remember that we are a family. And that we do pray for one another, and that we are concerned about one another, and we don't want people to fall through the cracks. And so as we get to do, one of the special things is our church does get and desires to pray for one another. And so as we've been getting these prayer requests, we have absolutely loved it. And so please grab them out and start filling. But today, we would love it if you guys would be willing to share what God's doing in your life, what you need prayer for. And if you want to, just stand right up or raise your hand and we'll bring a mic to you. But the first thing that I want to have you guys pray for is Mike Brandt is going through just a lot of hard times right now. He's on dialysis and just not doing very well, and I think he's got pneumonia right now. So just start praying for him, and we'll be going that. Are there any other prayer requests this morning that you guys would like to share with us? Right here.
Can you hear?
Yeah.
Heather Hartsock. I'm asking that you pray for my oldest boy, Aaron. He works for Northwestern Energy in Havre, and we had that horrible storm. Lots of power went out. And he told me a story about how they had worked 34 hours straight getting power on. And people were angry they didn't have power, and somebody tried to run them over. So, of course, they said, you don't get power. It affected 9 people on the street, which was unfortunate for them. But just pray, because they thought they had kind of overcome and they were going to be rebuilding, and now the wind blew and they're back to a lot of work. So just pray for his safety and for everybody that works through the night and as trees are falling around them. Just pray for their safety. Thank you.
Absolutely. We got back here with Mary Christensen.
I just asked prayer for Sandy Gardner. She's very ill. She's in St. John's Rehab Center trying to recover from surgery, but she's just unable to eat, and she'll probably be coming to the nursing home here in Glasgow this next week. So keep praying for Sandy.
Right. Brian and I will be out of the office this week. You guys can be praying for us. We are headed to annual conference, and so we get to hang out with a bunch of pastors. For Brian, it's really fun because he just gets to know a bunch of people. For me, it's a little bit nerve-wracking because sometimes I like compare myself to people. I don't know why I do that. I know why. But if you'll just be praying for us as we go there, that A, that we just have great windshield time, but B, that we get to encourage other churches in our conference and just see what they're doing and how they're affecting their community for Christ. So
Not hitting any deer.
Yeah, and not hitting any deer. Yep. We'll be good. I'll be driving. All right.
You just hit a deer too.
Let's pray. Hey, God, every week when I come to pray, I'm overwhelmed with the feeling and the knowledge that this is all of yours anyway. Sitting out fencing and looking around and seeing the vast creation and knowing that I am so small in the whole grand scheme of things, and to think that you would come and that you would call us to have a relationship with you, the creator and the sustainer of all things, to give us peace and to give us patience when our lives around us seem hard. Or even the fact that sometimes we think we're more important than we're not. But that, God, you would call and that you would give us a purpose and you'd give us a reason for breathing every single day. That, God, that purpose would be to know you and to love others and to share your son. It seems like that's so simple, but it's incredibly hard, Lord. You know. We get bogged down with our own worries and our own fears and our own concerns. And God, would we just be able to lay them at your feet every day? And would we get to see that the adventure that you're calling us on, to get to know you more and more all the time, to be amazed by you, to wonder at how great you are. And God, to see you work in people's lives. God, we do take for granted the things that we just get easily, like flipping on a light switch. Somebody had to supply that for us. And Aaron, who's working incredibly hard to help people out, and it's a thankless job sometimes because we just assume that that's what we should have. God, would you give him strength to continue on going back through the stuff that he just fixed? Would you allow him to know that he does have a purpose, that you're watching over him and that you're guiding and directing his life. God, would you give them strength? Would you give them patience with people too, as well as people have patience with them? And God, with Sandy and Mike, or both of them just going through medical illnesses, Lord, we just ask that you would give your overwhelming presence to them right now. That God, through your Holy Spirit, that they would know that you love them so incredibly much, and that you are with them, and that God, they can talk to you, whatever pain is going through or whatever their worries or concerns, that you are a far better listener than any of us can be. God, we are amazed that you call us to be in your community here in Glasgow. And God, would you just help our church to continually be guided and directed, that we would start to, but we would continually over and over again share you with others that we come in contact with, Lord.
Lord, thank you for every soul in this room. It was your intention to have them here today, to speak to us today, to worship with us today. And may we be interrupted by you this morning. Lord, thank you so much for this family that you've put together and woven together, for their giving, for their service, for their graciousness, for their patience, for their love. Lord, may we continue to just share the fruits of the Spirit, grow closer to you and grow closer to each other. We humbly ask all of these things in your name. And we leave them at the most level playing field there is for the cross. And all God's people said, amen.
Hey, if you are 3 years old, oh wait, I totally forgot about offering. Wow. Come on up. I totally mistook that today. Hey, can you actually, for me, pull up that song that I had you play? I want you guys to listen to this because I was going to play it twice. And as we take offering, I want you to think about what you hear at this verse. This is a prayer from St. Francis of Assisi, and it's called Being an Instrument of Peace. And then we're going to let the children go.
Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
All right, if you are 3 years old to third grade, you can take off right now. This week, I want you to skip though. Don't run, skip. Yeah, look at that. Yeah. This is called small motor skills, y'all. Right there. I've been kind of, I'm glad I came across this this prayer, because I've been thinking, and as you guys have heard me speak on, what if this life was more and more so much not about us? What if it was about others? What if it was about seeing what God is doing around us and deciding, hey, I want to get on that train? And then as we get on that train, we start to realize that it's more and more about what he's doing for others and how we go along those lines and how we play a part in that. And then I came across what we're going to read today. And so if you have your, it's not like I just found the scripture. I just was reading through John. And so if you have your Bibles, John chapter 13, I realized that when I said I came across it, it wasn't like, I just found this all of a sudden. I've known this story for a while, but it's been something that has been very interesting to me. And so let's read this together. We're going to go from verse 1 through verse 15 together. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that the hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what you are doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never, ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And his disciples, and you disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew he would be betrayed. For Jesus knew who would betray him. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robes again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I am doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you example to follow. Do as I have done to you." Let's pray. God, as we open this word, Lord, this is you speaking to us. God, would we be people who are open to what your Holy Spirit is doing in our hearts? Would we be open to changing our lives because of what you're doing? God, we think things are one way, but you always seem to be able to show us that maybe they're a little bit different. So God, wreck our hearts and move us forward. In your name we pray, amen. You may not know this about me, or some of you do, but there are three things. I would be lying if I said there's only two things, but there's three things I love in this life. One are shoes, two are backpacks, and three is food. We're only gonna focus on one, all right? So I really like shoes for some reason. Not so much, like, I'm not like a huge, like, I'm not gonna go out and buy myself some Yeezys, right? I'm not gonna go buy myself some Air Jordans or anything like that because those are way too overpriced. But I am like drawn to like amazing colored shoes. Like when they, not crazy colored, they have to all go together, right? I'm not just gonna do the rainbow shoes or anything like that, but no, like really cool put together shoes. In fact, actually, for like 3 months in a row, I kept on going back. I just happened to be in Shields for 3 months in Billings. For some reason, I had to be in Billings every month. And I kept on going back to these pair of shoes. And I knew that I could not get my wife to sign off because they were over $100. And I just can't spend over $100 for shoes, right? They're just shoes. And so they were these Nano 6s. Reebok made them. And they were of the American flag. and they were really cool. And I kept on going back to them, and they never dropped under $99. And so, like, one day I put them on, and they just fit phenomenally. And I went to Virginia. The lady selling me these shoes let me walk out of the shoe department to go, and I just need to show my wife. She's like, yeah, sure, go for it. And I walked over to my wife, and look how awesome these look on me. And Virginia, this is what she said. If you really want them, I guess you can get them. Which is no, right? Like, she wants me to be a man and say no. And so I was like, fine, I'll put them back. And so I walked back, I took them off. And then I, like, 2 months later, I went back. I'm like, I hope those shoes are still there. And I got to them and they were gone. So I did not buy those shoes. But one of the things I was reading in a magazine, actually it was reading and listening to a podcast all at the same time, that they were saying, what if shoes are destroying our feet? What if we actually shouldn't wear shoes? There's this guy, his name is Wim Hof, and I'm not going to go into a bunch of details, but he, like, perfected this breathing method, right? And one of the things that he does is he hikes and climbs mountains and doesn't wear any shoes, right? He's that guy that you've seen, like, he jumps in the Arctic waters and swims for, like, an hour in the water and is just like he's messing around. He's just this weird guy. And one of the things that they were talking about is his feet are so wide that he just sprints across a field. And even if he steps in a pothole, it doesn't matter because it doesn't hurt him. He's got that great of a foot base and he's doing awesome. And so I started going, wait a second. Are you telling me that like, we've been duped this whole entire time? Like, we've been wearing shoes because I buy really cheap shoes, right? Not, it sounds really bad. I just buy shoes because I'm just gotten to the point because I really love how my wife thinks about life. And I'm just like, I'm not gonna spend more than $30 on a pair of shoes. And so sometimes they're really narrow and I feel like I'm squeezed in my feet, right? And I just thought, well, wait a second. I've been thinking this whole entire time that it's all about these amazing shoes. What if it's not? I mean, I can't even walk across, like, our alleyway without shoes on, right? It hurts me so bad. I can't do it, right? I don't have tough feet, just like I don't have tough hands, right? I have office hands. And I've just been thinking about, like, this moment, this time where everything is kind of normal, right? It's normal to get your feet washed. When you have Lord boards on all day long, which are sandals, by the way, okay, Lord boards. Okay, when you have Lord boards on all day long, back in the day, your feet are dirty. We get home and we wash our hands, right? They wash their feet, okay? It's not odd that this is happening. But what is incredibly odd is that the master is doing it for them. And I started just thinking about these different things about what if it's different? What if life is actually different? What if we took this on? How would we be changed? And then I started thinking about, well, wait a second. We all have shoes on in this room, except for the three up in the front row here that just magically took them off while I'm talking. We all wear shoes. I'm not going to go up to you and clean your feet right now. This is not that type of sermon, right, Harvey? I'm not coming for your feet, okay? But I started thinking, like, okay, if this is this, at the very end, he's saying, well, you should actually wash other people's feet. What's actually going on here? What's really in the process of happening? And so as I started, like, looking at this scripture a little bit more, I think three things just popped out to me that I'm just like, wait a second. If I had this attitude, something would change in my life. It would mean that I would actually desire to clean other people's feet. And we're going to get into more detail of what that actually looks like. But if you're taking notes with me this morning, we're going to just jump right on into this. Because I think that this is a different process as we look at this story. And the one thing that you need to realize is this. That this is an example of an intimate inward process. This is an example of an intimate inward process. I'm telling you, even right now, if I came to you and I took off your shoes, okay, and I then took off your socks and I said, hey, let's wash your feet, it would be an incredible intimate process, wouldn't it? Like, you would sit there, some of you are incredibly, have incredibly ticklish feet, right? Some of you have incredibly stinky feet. It's incredible to me what this process looks like. And the guy who is, you've been calling Lord the whole entire time, is sitting there going, I want to wash your feet. Even to the point where he disrobes, gets a different robe on, and comes to them and says, hey, I want to wash your feet. How many of us would sit there and back away and go, just like Peter, go, yeah, I'm not sure I'm ready for that. I think that this is incredibly interesting in terms of the intimacy that's going on here. Because I wonder how many of us have spent enough time with God to allow him to be intimate with us. Or do we just assume that God knows everything about us and that we're fine and we're just going to go on with life? Like, how many of us have sat there and been vulnerable in front of God and said, dude, I know they're bad. It's getting worse. Or even to the point of going, man, I love you. Like, it is so intimate, in fact, actually, that not only should we be thinking about what our thought process is, think about what Christ's thought process is in this. That he, and this is a complete picture, a beautiful picture. He disrobes, he takes off his masterness, right? Puts on a different robe and comes and says, I love you so much. It's not about titles, it's not about who I am. It's literally about how much I love you right now. So if this is an inward, intimate process, I have a question for you. Do you realize how much Christ loves you? It doesn't, and here's the deal. We want other people to say that to us a lot too, don't we? But we certainly don't want Christ to say that to us. Or we do, but it's only to make us feel better for the moment, not for who he is. I mean, has that ever sunk into you that Christ loves you? I'm sitting there doing these posts, clipping, whatever. I'm not technical, but I'm doing these posts and clipping and all this stuff, and I turn around, and there's this vast cloud coming towards us. I mean, just huge, and you can see forever. Right? That's what is the greatness about northeastern Montana. Better than anywhere else, you can see when people are coming, right? For miles and miles. And I looked at it and I said, God, you are phenomenal. And in the very same soft, I don't know if it's me or listening to this sermon, but God said, but this is how much I love you. Like, in those small moments when we get to give God his greatness and let him know that he is master of our lives, in that small moment, he's sitting there saying, this is how much I love you. And so before we start out anything else or go to the next couple of verses, I want you to look at somebody to your right and to your left, and this is what you need to tell them. And literally look at them longingly, right? It's okay. Connect to them, and this is what you need to say. Do you realize God loves you? On the count of three. One, two, three. Now, some of you said that to somebody you might not know very well, and some of you said it to somebody you do know, but here's the deal. Do you realize? Because that would change tons of our thought process on things, wouldn't it? if I realized how much God loves me and how much he does care, how would that change the way we just go about life? Because then and only then does it not become about us anymore, does it? It literally becomes about the one who loves us. And then the second thing as I was going through these notes is this, is that Christ desired that you would be a part of him. So not only does he love you, but he says this, he says, I want you to be a part of me. Peter is like, oh man, I know you love me. I know, so just bring it all, wash me completely clean. We're good, everything. You gotta get everything, God. And Jesus says, wait a second. I'm sorry, back it up. In my thought process, I'm too far in my sermon. He says, no, you're not going to wash my feet. And Christ just says, well, no, if you're not going to let me wash your feet, you're not going to be a part of me. John 13:8 goes right in there. Jesus replies, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. There is something interesting about this process of Jesus washing his feet. And if Jesus washes his feet, then he becomes a part of him. There's a letting go. There is a, all right, fine, I know you love me, and I know that you desire to wash my feet, but there's a part of letting go that lets us be a part of God's world. There's a part which we start to very much understand that is really not about us, once again, over and over again. The problem is if we don't have a heart change and we just let him wash our feet, if we don't really want to be a part of him, then we don't move forward. Actually, it only becomes about behavior change, doesn't it? Maybe for 3 months, I'll be able to change how I do things and see God's way. But man, if it literally, we don't become a part of him, how do we move forward? We don't have a heart change. We just have behavior changes. And just watch how long behavior really changes for when it comes down to what's in our hearts. Christ desires that you would be a part of him. And those two points only help out with the third point, because unless we understand that this is an intimate inward process and that he wants to be a part of us, this next point, actually, we go one of two ways. If we actually want it to be an intimate process with him and he changes our hearts and we become a part of him, only two things can happen. And this is what you need to realize about feet. Feet are lovely and disgusting. I'm going to tell you a little bit. I love thinking about this. Did you know that you have 26 bones in your foot? Which is about, now some of you doctors are here and I'm going to mess this up, but that's okay. That is almost a fourth of all the bones in your body, in your feet. Did you know that you have over 100 muscles, ligaments, and connectors and joints, actually just muscles and ligaments in your feet alone. And that there's 33 joints in those feet. And that is the foundation on which you stand every single day. Feet are lovely because they're the foundation of our body. They give us balance. I've heard if you lose a big toe, it's really hard for balance. I haven't lost my big toe yet. The Bible says amazing is the message that feet bring. They bring messages, they carry things. Could you imagine if we allowed this? And I'm just going to tell you that if you haven't figured it out yet, the cleansing of the feet, I am making a direct correlation to the cleansing of your heart. Because if you knew something about your heart, which is lovely, it is the lifeblood. It pumps in you. It brings healing to areas by letting blood flow. It keeps you alive, keeps you moving. Jesus is showing them an outward, intimate thing to suggest that there is an inward, intimate process with us. Our hearts move us in directions in which we want to love other people. Our hearts move us in places to bring good news to people. But if hearts are lovely and if feet are lovely, then conversely, guess what? Feet are disgusting. Because feet get dirty, don't they? They get ingrown toenails. If you ignore them, squish them too much. They get stubbed on furniture when you're walking around at night. And I have to tell this joke. I had a principal who would always used to walk around in school, and I don't remember much about Mr. Hope, but there's two things he always taught us. Haste makes waste, go back and do it again. And if you stub your toe, call a tow truck. So, I remember that, but feet are disgusting. We get them stubbed all the time. Man, feet stink, don't they? And some feet are really ugly. They got calluses all over them. They have bunions. The first toe is longer than the big toe. You know anybody like that? I know a couple of people like that. It's huge. Sometimes we neglect them and they get really long toenails. We have things called athlete's foot and fungus and all those things with our feet. But conversely, just as much as feet are lovely, they can be disgusting. And just as much as hearts are lovely, they can be disgusting. We neglect them all the time, don't we? We know the truth about how to move ourselves, and we just go, no, we'd rather want what we want. We carry around things like bitterness and anger and envy. But here's my thought process. If we would allow time for God to have an intimate session with us, and that we would desire to become a part of Him, I think we would always live, or we would try to live, out of the lovely side of things instead of the disgusting side of things. John 13, 9 through 11 says this. Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet. A person who is bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." He's saying this. He's saying, where's your heart? Where's your heart? Because here's the thing, what happens to us is that God already knows our hearts. He already knows what sort of stinky feet we have. But this is what He says to us. He says, "I desire to love, to serve, to clean, and to direct your feet." Have you ever realized that God already knows what you have? He already knows all of those things. He created it. He knows what you can accomplish. And He knows also, for some of you, how dirty your hearts really actually are. But for some strange reason, we know that the Creator has all of these things. What do we still do with our heart? We still try to protect it. we still try to put shoes on our feet because that's a great way to protect it. So then we won't get stabbed, or maybe we won't stub our toes as badly. Maybe sometimes what we do is we put air freshener in so other people don't have to see how bad it really is. Or there's some of you in this room who think I'm not good enough to be cleaned by God. And if you're one of those things of trying to hide, or hey, we're in the process of getting our feet cleaned. I was going to say teeth cleaned, which is funny. Maybe we need to go back to that top and go, hey, have I had an intimate inward process moment with God? Do I realize that because of that, He loves me so much and I desire to be a part of Him? Because when we do, we become to see the lovely side of who God is. And this is the so what down in the bottom of your sermon notes. So what? In that case then, God asks us to serve, to love, to clean, and to help others. I got a perfect illustration for you of this one, and it just came out this morning. So Friday, I'm doing the fencing thing, and I'm at home, or I'm at out in the field, and my wife sends me a text and says, there's a chicken in the backyard. We live by Pomida. We don't live out in the wilderness, right? Like, there's a chicken in my backyard. Now, if you don't also know something about us runner people, we don't have any pets in our house, okay? We don't have dogs, cats, fish. We don't have any of those things. Not because we hate them, it's just we just don't want them. And so so this chicken is in the backyard. I am sitting there. What do you want me to do? And she's like, well, I guess you're just going to have to take care of it when you get home. Now, I'm thinking to myself, I do not want to take care of a chicken when I get home. Like, I don't, first of all, I'm going to look like a fool running around and getting this chicken, right? And so then the day just progresses. The chicken's in the front yard. The chicken is at our neighbor's, Doyle and Yvonne's house. The chicken is at the Sigmundstedt's. Oh, now the chicken has found food at another neighbor's yard. What am I supposed to do with this chicken? And I said, just let it go. She's like, I can't. I'm like, oh, you care about animals, don't you, Virginia? And so she calls, I've been given permission. She calls Mary Jo Gutenberg. Mary Jo, would you come and get this chicken? And so Mary Jo comes with this net, right? And all of a sudden, they're chasing this chicken in the Pomida parking lot. Shopco. It's Shopco. It's always been Pomida for me. Everybody else. Shopco parking lot. We're chasing this chicken around, right? And they finally catch it. Takes it to the chicken coop. And the chicken coop gets in there. And we get a picture. Says, oh, just fits right in. And then all of a sudden, we get another picture of this chicken fighting with these other chickens, right? Like, it's just, and they're like, ah, maybe it's not such a good thing. So then, this morning we get here, and Mary Jo is just like, well, fits right in, we're good, everything's okay, it's all right. And you're probably wondering, what does a chicken story have to do with this? And here it is, you ready? When God asks us to serve, to love, to clean, and to help others, it's a lot like chasing around a chicken. It's a lot like, actually, wouldn't you just stay in the front yard, please? Or wouldn't you just stay in the backyard where it's fenced so that it'd be a lot easier for me? Where everything is clean and easy and maybe I can catch you a lot better. And then when we actually catch the chicken and we put it in a chicken coop, what happens? Well, good luck. I kind of cleaned you up. I saved you. Good luck with it. And then all of a sudden, sometimes in a church world, it's like, well, now you have to do A, B, and C, and D, and A, E, F, G, and all this different stuff. And they're just reeling, going, I don't know if I can handle this. And sometimes, I'm going to tell you, we're not the best as a church at handling people. are we? But the thing is that what we're called to do is not be perfect to do it first, but to just go and be willing to clean. Be willing to sit with them and have the intimate moments to get to know them better, to tell them we love them. To ask them to be a part of who Jesus is, because we're not doing it for our own message, we're doing it for the message of Christ. But you know what the best thing about that is? I guarantee that in about a week or 2 weeks, once the chicken is settled down, it's going to start producing eggs. So as things settle down, we start to go, see, isn't this amazing what God is doing in your life? Because somebody spent the intimate moments of hanging out with somebody. Somebody asked them, hey, would you like to be a part of this? And we started realizing that, guess what? Their feet aren't disgusting. They might have been neglecting them, but God has already created them and they're beautiful. So now we see them completely different. We have to accept the call from Christ when he says, do as I've done for you. John 13:12-15. After washing their feet, he put his robe on again, and sat down and asked, do you understand what I am doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. So now, what does that look like sometimes? And I want you to listen to this prayer again, and I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and they're going to close us out in a couple of songs. But I want you to listen to this prayer again. Maybe think of it a little bit differently.
Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.
Righteousness.
I was in the Army, one of the biggest things we got trained on was not how to shoot a gun or how to perform first aid or how to go into battle. It was how to take care of your feet. It was how to take care of your feet. If you didn't pack enough stuff, they were only worried not about your underwear or your pants or your gloves or your eye protection. They were worried if you had enough pairs of socks. It was one of the biggest battles they had in World War I, World War II, Civil War, Vietnam War, was people were not battle ready because their feet would get all sorts of different diseases and pains and different things. And so they gave us several pairs of boots that you had to break in correctly and socks and all these things to protect it. And I feel it's the same thing. In order for us to be battle ready, we have to make sure that we prepare our heart. And the way that we do that is we allow God into the stinkiness. We allow God into the vulnerable parts of it. And in the Army, we had to check each other's feet every night. And that is gross. Y'all, it's gross. Some people have some nasty, blistered, stinky. It's gross. But the beauty in that is how intimate we can get when we get gross together. When we let each other into these vulnerable parts, when we let God in to where we not just put off that he already knows and whatever, but we let him in to that part of our life, into that part of our heart, and he can just clean it. He already knows how dirty it is. But let him in there. And the final verse for us is 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that the foundation of our life can be the cleansing of our heart of your message. You can be our foundation. You can be our balance. You can be what cleans us. You can be what looks past the callousness of our heart, the ingrown toenails of our heart, the funguses of our heart, those things that we feel like we just can't get rid of, the nagging things that we keep having to treat and keep having to treat. But I know, Lord, that you are the ultimate cure for the things that ail our heart, the things that we think repulse people. Lord, may we let you into the intimate parts of our life. May we let you into the grossest, dirtiest part of us so that you may help us balance, you may help us carry your message, and you may be our foundation. Lord, we love you. Please just reach into all of our lives and help us understand you a little bit better so we may grow closer to you and closer to others. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.